Corinthians chapter 11. Be followers of me, even as also I am of Christ. Now, one of the things that when you get into your Bible, there are certain people, and lots of them, that the Lord wants you to learn about. They're real people. They are people that you're supposed to know about. I mean, a lot of people know about Napoleon. They know about Hitler. But these are people right in your Bible that you need to know about. They're the most important people to learn. Some of them will teach you what not to do, like Samson. But most of them will teach you a real way to live. And that's why when we come to youth camp, we learn from these people. We've learned from some amazing people in the Bible. We've learned from David and Jacob, Mordecai and Esther. We've learned from Joseph. We've learned from a lot of very amazing lives. Because these people are the most real people you'll ever read about. If you wrote a story about your life, I bet you'd leave some things out, wouldn't you? I bet you'd leave out that time when you were caught by the Garda some night when you were with some friends you shouldn't have been with. I bet you'd leave that part out. But you see, when God records the lives of people, He records everything. That's a scary thought. And so when you read of David, you see his great days and you see his sinful days. So we are learning about real people. And these are people we need to learn from. They're the most important people to learn from. One of them is the Apostle Paul. Somebody we should learn from, like we're doing this week. Really, one of the most important influences on modern Christianity is this one man, the Apostle Paul. And I want you to see what his life was like B.C., before Christ, and A.C., after conversion. Two different times of his life where he was away from God, didn't know God, and then where he was following the Lord and he turned the world upside down. So if you'll now take your Bible, I want you to hear his testimony. I'm not going to like this at all. I have no idea what the thing is. I do. Thank you, sir. Let's move that. Then I need you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Where we're going to listen to his testimony about what he was like before he got saved. First Timothy. When you found that, we're going to pray. First Timothy chapter 1. All right, when you found that, let's bow in prayer. Father, I need you. I pray that you would bless the preaching of your word and the hearing of it. We know the devil doesn't want us to be here, doesn't want us to listen. So I pray against him, and I pray, God, that you would open our hearts and our ears. Lord, when we look into the life and the heart of this man, it's somebody you want us to see. It's not some reality show. This is the real thing. And we're learning from his heart how to have the kind of life that can still turn the world upside down today. Lord, my life needed to be turned upside down. My life needed to be affected and upset. And I thank you for somebody who, like Paul, gave me the gospel, upset me, and got me to face my sin. Lord, I pray that tonight you'd get us to face who we really are. Help us look in the mirror of your word and so see who we really are. And see what you can make of us. Bless the preaching as only you can. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look in chapter 1 and start in verse 11. I love how he starts off here. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. What did he think of the gospel? Did he think it was a ho-hum? Boring? Or what did he say the gospel was? Glorious, like a beautiful, you wake up early on a spring morning, you see the sunrise, you say it's glorious. That's how Paul thought about the gospel. Verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus my Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who was before, listen to him, listen to his testimony, what was he before he got saved? He was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious, that means he beat up people. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying. Were we trying to memorize that verse earlier? Here we are. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I think he's just bragging here, not on the kind of life that he used to be, but that the life that he used to live is now no longer his life that he now lives. He's talking about his testimony. And it's very important to understand what you were before you got saved. Because when you look back on it, there is nothing glorious about it. You see, before I got saved, I had fun. But I nearly killed myself racing cars. With my best friend in the car, we were out on a dirt track back at night. We were racing against a couple of other cars there, thinking we were having fun. It was a big deal till I took a turn. And I was 16 years old. I wasn't supposed to be driving. And I thought that I could handle a car, so I took my mom's car without asking. Wasn't I a good boy? Wasn't I a good boy? No, I wasn't. But I took around a turn. Another guy came around. I beat him at the turn, and then I turned too close, and my car flipped 3 times. Boom, 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 boom. Actually, it was my mom's car. Remember that. Should have been dead. Oh, yeah, I was in trouble. I was grounded for a year. No, not really. But she wanted to. You know, you think that you had so much fun when you were... I'm glad I don't live like that now. I'm glad I'm not stupid like that. I'm stupid in other ways, but I'm not stupid like that anymore. There was a time before I got saved where I really didn't think that I would ever die, that I could just do anything I want and nothing would happen to me, until I saw two friends of mine where I went to their funerals, where one of them, because he had a beer in his hand, he had a girlfriend in the other hand, and he turned around, he was a year older than me, so he had his license, and when he was out driving, he hit and wrapped his car around a tree. His car was going so fast, when it hit the side of the road and hit the tree, the car was around the tree. He and his girlfriend were dead. See, I should have died, but I didn't. He died. I went to his funeral. Another one lost control of his car, 1 year older than me, 17 years old, racing with somebody else. I don't know what was in our blood, but it was stupidity, and he was out racing with some friends. He got out of control, went right into a wall. He died. I saw two funerals that year that I had my car wreck. Why wasn't I killed? I have no idea. I just know this. I was stupid. And God had grace. You see, I'm glad I don't live that way anymore. I want to live. Amen? Now, Paul, he had a life before he got saved. And his life was kind of strange. He was blindly religious. If you take your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 3. Listen to how religious he was. If you're in Timothy, go back to the left, find Philippians chapter 3. And I don't brag about how stupid I was. I tell you how I was because I want you to know that's reality. I'm ashamed of that. I embarrassed my mom. I shamed my mom. I hurt my mom. When the police brought me home, my mom came to the door and there I was in my car. She knew the car had been taken. She didn't know what happened. But the police had to explain, your son was out driving and wrecked the car. I hurt my mom. I don't want to ever do that again. I'm just telling you, there's a way that you live before the Lord gets you and fixes you up here and in here. And Paul had that problem before he got saved. The first thing he was Philippians chapter 3. Listen to his testimony. He still goes on. Chapter 3, verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh and my old life, if any man, other man, thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. I can tell you, listen to what I was like. Verse 5 says, I was circumcised the eighth day. That was a big deal. Of the stock of Israel. I grew up an Israelite. I was of the tribe of Benjamin, one of the top tribes. A Hebrew of the Hebrews. Touching the law, I was a Pharisee. I knew the law left, right, and center. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, nobody could point the finger at me and say I was a lawbreaker. I was blameless. That was Paul. And I tell you, if you could get points, like we give out points for singing in your skit, if you could get points for being good, Paul would look pretty good. Would you agree? I guarantee you, he was at church every Sunday. He was at church, well, he was on Saturday, you got to understand, but he loved being at church. He loved his religion. He was so super zealous of being religious, but he was blind. You know, if you could actually look at Paul and see what he was really like, you would see that he was, on the outside, he was one way. But have you ever gone and opened up the dishwasher and thinking that they've all been washed and gone and pulled out a cup and then gone and got the apple juice and poured it in there almost and looked down there, it has not been washed? You ever had one of those things where you thought the cup was washed and it wasn't? On the outside, it looked clean. But on the inside, it still had yesterday's coffee in it. You wouldn't drink from it, would you? No. So, Paul, on the outside, he looked pretty clean. But he not only was blindly religious, he was a blasphemer. Now, I don't know if you think what blaspheming is, but blaspheming is when you mock God. I hope you never do that. But a lot of people mock God. Instead of when they stub their toe, instead of blaming Muhammad, who do they blame? Jesus. That's blasphemy. That's blaming Jesus for you stubbing your toe. Blasphemy is a serious offense. It's like when people go around lying about you. If I said Sean over here, he took my phone. Well, that's a lie, right? Good, amen. All right. All right, I'd be going around, and that's blaming him for something he didn't do. And I hear everybody blaming God for what he hasn't done. He doesn't cause all the problems in the world. We do, amen. So blaspheming, Paul mocked, he ridiculed, he made fun of, he laughed at Jesus of Nazareth. He even cursed his name. He made him out to be just as bad as the devil. Everywhere Paul went, he said Jesus was a liar, he was a fraud, Jesus was a sinner. But there, you're in Philippians, look at chapter 2 and verse 10. One page back, chapter 2 and verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is what? He's Lord. He's God. He's Master. That everybody should confess he's awesome. He shouldn't be made fun of. He shouldn't be a name that you sort of laugh at or that you mock or that you blaspheme. And yet that's what Paul did. Paul thought he was a pretty good guy. But when somebody would mention Jesus, he would spit. That's a blasphemer. He was also a bully. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter, I said 1 Corinthians 10. Don't forget that. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter, I said keep that again, sorry. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13. Hope you find that. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13. For you have heard of my conversation. He's talking about his life and time past in the Jews' religion. What were you like, Paul? You with me? Galatians 1:13. How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and I wasted it. You know what he said? When he'd find some Christians, he'd hear about some Christians meeting in some house somewhere, he would get a bunch of guys with big sticks and with swords and with spears, and he would come in without knocking, he would bash that door down, he would grab people and he would terrorize them, he would drag them out of the house, he would put them on a horse, he would tie up their hands, he would begin to beat them, he would take them off to prison, and he would leave them there for as long as he could, because he wanted to just waste those Christians getting together. He wanted to stop them from having any kind of church meeting. I bet you would know what to do if somebody came in and beat you up for just going to church. What if on Sunday morning you got to church, and as you're getting out and you're going into church, getting ready to sit down, 15 guard outside come in and start grabbing people and tying them up and dragging them out and beating them on their way out. You'd say, wait, that's unjust, that's wrong. But that's what Saul was doing. He was a bully and was proud of it. He tortured Christians. He stood there one day as men begin to pick up stones and they begin to throw it with all their might at Stephen. And Stephen's standing there looking up to heaven saying, Lord, lay that this sin to their charge. And as he was hit and as he fell to the ground, he instead of saying, God, kill him, he said, Lord, forgive them. And there they were, kept stoning and kept throwing those stones at Stephen. And Paul's over there, hit him again. And he's standing in the back and he's holding on all the coats of those men who are throwing those stones. And he says, hit him again. He's just resent. I wish I could get in there. Paul was a bully. But worst of all, he was an unbeliever. You know what Paul trusted in? Himself. He thought he didn't need Jesus. Kind of like some people I know. most everybody I talk to, they go, oh, I'm okay. I'm okay. You got your religion led better, and I got mine. That's what Paul would have said. I don't need what you got. Well, that was the worst sin you could ever have. Do you know there's only one sin that'll send you to hell? Guess what it is? That one. Just not believing on Jesus Christ. You say, I thought murder would send you to hell. No, you're already on your way to hell. You're on your way to hell until you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what sin you do, that's the worst that'll send you to hell. Think about it. Then something wonderful happened. What happened? What happened? What happened to Saul of Tarsus? Yes, ma'am. He got saved. I mean, it must have been the most wonderful event of his life. I mean, I remember the day I got saved. It was the best day of my life. It really was. Second best day of my life was when I got married. But the first greatest day of my life was when I got saved. Amen. You see, he was saved from his sin. He was saved from hell. He was saved from himself. Something wonderful happened to Paul, and it changed absolutely everything. Go back to 1 Timothy. Back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. You know the first thing that happened to Saul? He understood he was a sinner. For the first time in his life, Saul understood, I was wrong. I was so wrong about Jesus. I was so wrong about myself. You know, the first way you know that you are a believer and that you are a Christian is when you start to admit, I'm a mess. See, as long as you say, I'm a good girl, you're never going to get in heaven. As Sarah said, he didn't come to save righteous people. What kind of people did he come into the world to save? Sinners. And so the first sign that somebody is either getting saved or is saved is that they go, I'm a sinner. And I understand it. And Saul of Tarsus, when he was on the road to Damascus, and he's down on the ground, looking up into the brightest light he's ever seen, hearing the most amazing voice he's ever heard in his life, and that voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul said, is that you, Lord? Are you really alive? I'm in trouble. He realized he was making fun of what he thought was a dead man, and here he was talking to him quite alive. Jesus was God. And he said, I was so wrong, Lord. I'm so messed up. I'm so sorry. The Lord says, get up. Now we can go together. That was the best thing that ever happened. He understood, I'm a sinner. It sounds so opposite. How can that be such a good thing to go, I'm so bad? Amen? Because until you start there, he can't make you good. He can't change you. The best thing to ever happen is to start at zero, all over. He said, Jesus said to a very well-educated, very wise, very wealthy man named Nicodemus, he said, you got to be born all over again. Nicodemus said, that's going to kind of be hard. Because how can I go back into my mom all over again? Jesus said, no, no, no. It's about being born of the Spirit of God. Born from the inside out, but this time born of God. And I tell you what, folks, it's the greatest thing ever to happen when you start over. Start all over, man, and just say, I'm a mess, but I want God to put me back together again. Now, he understood first that he was a sinner. And like I say here, you look on the outside of Paul, you'd say, he's a pretty good guy. You turn an x-ray, you know, they sometimes a lot of people don't realize that they're so sick until they go to the doctor. The doctor takes some tests, maybe an x-ray, and he says, you've got cancer. And they wouldn't have known it. People have said to me, I'm sure, all over a dozen people personally have said to me, I didn't know I was so sick until I went to the doctor and he showed me where the cancer was growing and I hadn't felt it yet. And Saul was the same. There was a cancer in him, but the cancer wasn't a tumor. Guess what it was? It was sin. And when he realized that Jesus was alive, all of a sudden he saw himself as a sinner. He saw sin in him. But not only did he understand that he was a sinner, look there in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. What does it say? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am one. Is that what he says?
No.
He actually says, not only am I a sinner, I'm the worst kind of sinner. You know, that's pretty amazing. That's awe. He didn't make light of his sins. He ranked himself up at the top of all sinners who've ever lived. But I thought, Paul, Saul, you were a religious man. You went to synagogue every Saturday. You were so zealous for God. You memorized Bible pages and chapters and books from since he was a child. He memorized tons and tons of scriptures. How could you be so bad? Because I hated Jesus Christ. Because I hated Christians. Because I persecuted them. Because I bullied them. Because I was stupid. I was a sinner. On the outside, I looked like a pretty good person, but I was so wicked on the inside. Amen. Do you hear his testimony coming out? Do you hear him giving his testimony? Do you know what Paul loved to preach? He loved talking about the cross and one other thing. The day he got saved. If he ever had a chance to preach, whether it's before kings or whether it's before governors or anybody, you know what he liked to say? This is how Jesus saved me. He loved telling his testimony. So when you read about his life, you hear it over and over. It is awesome. And what does he say? I was the chief of sinners. He didn't say, I just had a little bit of sin in me. What did he say? I had the most. He says, I'm first in line when it comes to sin. If there was a list of sinners and all the sinners in the world, I'm at the top. If you want to know what a sinner looks like, talks like, acts like, look at the life of Paul before he got saved. And you might see yourself. You don't have to be a mass murderer. You ever hear of these people who go and they shoot? You've heard about them over there in London. They go and they try to kill people. There have been people, some teenagers just started throwing acid on people over there in London just last week. Did you hear about that? There's some real nutcases out there. But there are people who go and they kill. They carry bombs and they pull the cord and they kill 10 people around them. You don't have to do that to be a wicked person. Are you listening? And you realize he should never have been able to be forgiven. You ever been so guilty you felt like, man, how am I? You ever done something? You say, how am I ever going to tell my mom? Huh? Well, the police took me home and made me tell my mom. I would never have told her. I just wrecked your car, Mom. Paul realized, how am I ever going to get forgiven? And there was Jesus saying, I am Jesus. You ready to stop fighting me? You know what Paul said? Lord, what will thou have me to do? That's called surrender. It's called, you win, God. It's a good place to be. Paul was overwhelmed by the grace of Jesus Christ. He said, you mean I got another chance? And he got to live it. Paul saw himself as the chief of sinners, but he finally understood what the gospel was. You know what the gospel is all about? Not how good you can be, not how good you should be. It's about what Jesus is. And when Jesus Christ is everything to you, why do you go to church? Because that's where Jesus is. That's where I get to worship him. Why do you pray? Because I get to talk to Jesus. Why do you read the Bible? Because I'm listening for the words of Jesus. Do you understand? He's the gospel. And he's our life. His whole life was affected or turned upside down. I mean, when you listen to it and you read it, he says, before I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, I was injurious, and then the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. It blew me away. It changed everything in Paul's life. So what was Paul like after conversion? You couldn't get any better than this. Because his whole life was not perfect. How does he call himself now that he's saved? Does he say, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners of whom I was chief? Is that what he says? What does it say? What does your Bible say? 1 Timothy 1:15, we have our memory verse. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners of whom I was chief. I was the worst. No, I am. So, this is very important for you to understand. After you get saved, you do not become perfect. Thank God. Amen? You're still a little bit stupid, a lot, but you're different. That's your first fill in there. And I thank God for being different. My friends, when I got saved, I started talking about Jesus, and they were running away. I started going to church Sunday morning, and then when they said, we got church Sunday night, I said, what time? And then I found out they had church again on Wednesday night. Guess where I was Wednesday night at 17 years old, right after getting saved? On Wednesday night, I was at church. Guess where I am still on Wednesday night? At church, when it's time for church. I'm different. I would never, when I was growing up, we never went to church. My dad thought it was a waste of time. My dad never talked about God. My family, we never read the Bible. But when I got saved, I couldn't get enough. I read it twice through my first year after getting saved. I didn't know I could, you're not supposed to read that much. I loved it. The first thing that Paul was after he got saved, I guarantee you, he was different. And if you ever get born again, if you've ever been saved, there has to have been a time where you were in darkness and now you're in light. You once were lost, but now you're found. You were blind, but now you see. There's got to be some difference about you. And there was something different about Paul. Something greatly different. Second thing that he was, not only different, but he was a better man. A much better man. I'll show you how better, if you will. Go back to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, and look in verse 2. Romans chapter 9 and verse 2, it says this. I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. What are you upset about, Paul? What's wrong? Verse 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed. This is how we'd say it. I could wish myself that I were damned. Listen to him. From Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. You know, before Paul got saved, he didn't care about anybody but himself. After he got saved, he said, if there were a way for me to go to hell so that my family and my brothers and my sisters and my aunts and my uncles and my nation could get saved, I'd go to hell for them. I'd like to have a friend like that. You know, there are not too many people who would be willing to die for you. Maybe your mom. But Paul became a different man. He was a better man. Paul didn't want to hurt anybody the rest of his life. Before he got saved, he didn't care who he hurt. After he got saved, he said, you can hurt me. You know what people did to Paul after he got saved? They beat him 200 times. He got 200 whelps on his back across different times. 5 times he was whipped, each time 40 times, 40 stripes, except for one. He didn't get all 40 stripes. 200 lashes on his back just for being a Christian. He was shipwrecked more times than he wanted to count. He was over 24 hours out of the Mediterranean holding on to boards of broken up sunken ships. He was hungry. He was hunted. He was destitute. He was naked. He was poor. He was hated. He was beaten. He never hurt another person. He's a different man, and he's a better man. Somebody comes up to me and slaps me on the side, I want to slap him back. Paul, he's different now. He's a better man. You know, the most important thing that'll change your life and make you a better young man or better young woman is to get saved. And I mean really saved. Where the Lord Jesus lives in you, not down at the church, not in mom and daddy, but in you. He was a better man. He was also a new creature. I mean, he was, go ahead and go to 2 Corinthians. Barry mentioned this, but look at it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 2. He was brand spanking new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. What a wonderful verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know what Paul's saying? Again, Paul wrote this. He said, if anybody gets saved, all the stuff in the past is in the past. It's old. It's passed away. It's dead. It's like brand new. It's like somebody getting a whole new life. You know what I got when I got saved at 17? I got a second chance. I could live differently now. I don't have to be the same old guy. I don't have to bring embarrassment to my mom. I don't have to be an embarrassment. I don't have to be stupid, or at least so stupid. I was a new person. And that's what Paul was. Third thing, He was no longer powerless against the old nature. You know, I was walking with, who was I with? Was that with you, Andrew, or somebody? I was going through Bowling College, where we live, and for the first time in a while, I saw a woman walk in, and she had a cigarette, a fag in her hand. And she's walking down the street, and I said, amazing. It's been so rare that I've seen anybody with a cigarette in their hand. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Amen. But you know how hard it is once you start smoking to give it up? It's almost impossible. But if you get saved, all the things that you find hard to do, He'll help you do. You're no longer a slave to all the sins that you struggle with. Maybe you're struggling with, I don't care what your friends are doing and what you're catching yourself. And the more you sin, it's like tying you up more and more in a spider's web. And you can't get out until Jesus comes in. You need to let Him make you free from all those bad habits because He is able. And another thing that happens, you're able to leave. Oh, I'm sorry. It makes a point where you're able to live free from the sins that ruled his life before. Well, all of his attitudes and all of his. If you've ever had a bad attitude against your parents, raise your hand. Amen. You know that's a sin. You know the only way to conquer that thing is to let the Lord help you. You actually say, Lord, I don't want to. You told me I was supposed to honor my parents, and I don't. Lord, give me the same power that you gave Paul so that I do right. Amen. You'll be able to live from all of those stupid sins that ruled your life before you got saved. You'll also accomplish some great things. You know what Paul did in his about 25 to 30 years after he got saved? Think about all the evil he did and all the wrong that he did before he got saved. Think about all the great things he did after he got saved. He started at least 24 churches. He traveled by foot and by boat over 10,000 miles. You know how long it would take to walk 10,000 miles? It's phenomenal. He traveled 10,000 miles telling people about Jesus. He personally trained over a dozen young men to be pastors and evangelists and missionaries. He wrote 14 books in the New Testament, and he gladly suffered almost continuously. He accomplished some great things. He didn't build a great building. My wife and I got to go over to New York City with this big building that replaced what are called the World Trade Centers. This big building that two airplanes went in back in 2001. You guys weren't even born back then. But it was an awful day. I watched it on television. It was such a grieving day to watch these two airplanes go in and kill 3,500 people. And those two buildings came crashing down. Well, they built another building in their place. And you stand there, you look at it, and you go, wow. So what? That life that Paul lived still affects people. It affects me still to this day. That building in New York will one day crumble. And yet here in the eternal Word of God, the life of Paul still lives. You want to do something great? Follow him. Follow him. And it was all simply because he was forgiven. Jesus didn't sprinkle fairy dust all over him, and he levitated and floated away like Tinkerbell, whatever her name is. But I know Tinkerbell. But what happened in his life that so changed him? He was forgiven by God. He was washed. He was cleansed. He was a new person. You know what Paul said? You know what Paul said now? Now, what if he came along, and I mean Paul with his armed men, and he came in and he says, anybody want to follow me? I chew up and spit out Christians. Anybody want to follow me? I hunt them down and I beat them up. Who wants to follow me? Is that the kind of guy you want to follow? Or do you want to follow the guy that turned the world upside down and saw thousands of people turn to Christ? Churches started all over the Middle East, where they need them, and Southern Europe. And somebody who was willing to be beat and whipped and punished and hurt and hunted and abandoned and abused so that people could get saved. Who do you want to be like? I decided 36 years ago, after I got saved, I was in a Sunday school class, and my Sunday school teacher said, there's this guy named Paul. We know him as the Apostle Paul. I didn't know what an apostle was. He said, let me tell you about him. Let me tell you his testimony. And he said, anybody in here want to be like him? I said, I'll try. I've been trying ever since. And it's the best effort I've ever put in. So, tonight you've had a bit of a look-see into the life of Paul. Maybe it describes you. Maybe on the outside you look like a pretty good guy. And I've watched girls, you listen to me, the guys that are behind you and around you and at school, they are scum. They're dangerous. They are, I'm serious. They know how to look nice and, oh, they can talk sweet. They know how to wink. They send you texts and they tell you, oh, you are so pretty. Strangle them and then run. Because on the outside, the guys look nice, but on the inside, they are wicked. That's why your dad's got a big stick at the door if they ever come showing up. And that's just the guys. What about the girls? Yeah, you guys are just as wicked too. But what am I saying? We can look good on the outside. Now, I see some guys, I mean, they can be so nice. Yes, Pastor Ledbetter. Yes, Pastor Ledbetter. Yes, Pastor Ledbetter. Oh, yes, you're so smart, Brother Ledbetter. Oh, Pastor, you're so wise. Pastor, yes, I'll be in church. Liar. You know how to talk. You know how to act. You know how to wink. You know how to do everything on the outside, but on the inside, maybe this is describing, on the inside, you know that you know that you know you're a sinner and you've never been saved. Let me tell you real quick. If Saul of Tarsus had died that day instead of just getting talked to by Jesus, if he had stood before Jesus as judge, Saul would have gone straight to hell. Would you understand that? But Jesus gave him a chance, didn't he? He says, you ready to stop fighting me? You know what Saul said? What do you want me to do? No more fight. Saul said, I give up. Amen. You know, if you're looking at Saul tonight and you see a little bit of yourself and go, wow, I know what I'm like, and I'm not like what I should be, it might be because you're not saved. But tonight you need to think real hard. Do I even understand what it means to be saved? Do I even want to be saved? If I do, hey, listen, 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And the Bible says, he will succor thee. He will help thee. If you say, I don't know how to pray, God will help you pray. The Holy Spirit works on you and will help you know how to talk to Jesus and get born again. Bow your heads and pray with me right now, would you? Heavenly Father, I just take a moment tonight and I ask that as we look at Saul of Tarsus, what he became, we first got to look at what he was. Maybe look at our lives and say, I wonder which side I'm on. Do I have a before Christ and an after conversion? Was there a time and a place where I met you? Father, I know, I remember the day I can go to the very street, I can go to the house, I can go into the kitchen and to the kitchen table where I knelt down next to that table and I cried out for the first time in 5 years. I had not cried since my dad left. And I bawled and I cried and I wept and I said, God, if you could forgive a sinner like me, would you please forgive me and save me? And I knew you heard me and I knew that you forgave me and I trusted your word and I believed that you loved a sinner like me. Would you convince somebody tonight that you still love sinners, even the chief of ones? Lord, for the rest of this week, may we listen and pay very close attention and follow this life through this week and let it just so get us deep in our heart, cut us in our heart, cut away all of the pride and all of the things that we're so confident of and proud of ourselves and say, Lord, forgive me. I don't want to be like me anymore. I want to follow Paul as he followed you. In Jesus' name, amen.